Hi, and welcome to Cryptobiography. I'm your host, Brandon Starr. This is episode 355 of Cryptobiography, and it is the compilation of the story, The Tip. And here we go. The door opened. Good afternoon, I believe I am expected. Indeed you are, Mr. Porter. Please come in. The man, about 60, with salt and pepper hair and deeply tanned skin, even on the top of his head, where the hair had thinned, stepped into the vestibule. The receptionist showed him down the hall to the first door on the left. It opened to a smallish office. Mrs. Cruz will be with you shortly. He looked around. It looked like a very standard office. Desk, computer, file drawers, a single window looking out onto not much. But it was strangely barren of anything personal. He suspected that the office was not Mrs. Cruz's. Whatever the reason, she did not keep him waiting long. She entered and she could see him noting her conservative business attire and ex-military posture. James Porter? Jimmy, please. Mrs. Cruz? Yes, Jimmy. As Rosalinda has four syllables, please call me Rosa. Nice to meet you, Rosa. How much did they tell you? I read a transcript of your call to our office. Jimmy looked impressed. Okay, then. I understand you have video proof of this unusual occurrence.
I do.
And I haven't posted it anywhere. It's just here, he patted on his phone, and in my cloud account. The tiny pause before that last sentence indicated to Rosalinda that he in fact didn't have a proper backup, but wanted it to seem like he did. That was fine with her. If he didn't have a backup and was concerned about how it looked, it made it more likely that the video wasn't a fake. Now, if you find a real supernatural power, you'll pay me $100,000, right? That's what the contract said. That's correct. We will, of course, confirm the video, both with live sleuthing and by checking the video itself.
Fine, fine, Jimmy said.
Rosalinda saw that, in his mind, he was already spending the money. This was not a supernatural power of hers. She was just good at reading people, particularly when she had seen so many come through the office with leads on imps. May I see it then, Jimmy? She asked, with what she knew was a very winning smile.
Sure, he said, and pulled his phone out of his pocket.
She took it. Let's see it on a real screen, she suggested. She opened her drawer and found the appropriate cord, then connected it to the computer, which was particularly well secured against viruses. Show me which video, she said, sliding the phone back to him. He pointed at one, and she started it. It showed a street with a lot of low buildings and dry yards. Where was this taken? She asked. She assumed that the information would be on the metadata, but she wanted his answer.
My house, off of East Compton.
She nodded. And you told my people that you took this video yourself?
Yes.
Have you lived there long?
35 years.
I need this not to get out, especially not to the people on this video. She knew that only the hefty reward would have brought him forward.
It won't. My people are very careful.
She started the video again. The video was taken over a low wall. It also seemed to be taken from a shaded area. He really didn't want to be seen, she thought. It was in broad daylight, with a typical L.A. hazy blue overhead. The street had been empty except for a single man who was sweeping his sidewalk. He was Latino, probably in his 30s, though the clarity wasn't great. He wore a white t-shirt with a beer company logo and jeans with sneakers. His black ball cap kept his face shaded and was the biggest thing keeping her from determining any more about him. She paused it again.
Do you know him? She asked Jimmy.
Yeah, he's my neighbor, Juan.
Last name?
Jimmy had to think.
Palacios, I'm pretty sure.
We're on waving terms mostly. We've only had a couple of conversations in passing.
How long has he lived there?
Maybe 6 years.
She nodded and resumed the video.
There had been a subtle noise in the background. It was getting a lot louder.
Hear that? Jimmy asked her, and she paused the video. That's why I was taking the video. I had heard that SUV a few times. It's been tricked out to blast noise. I was hoping to get the police interested. Not that it was too likely, he added, a little sourly. She restarted it. The noise got louder, and even through the simple phone's microphone, it was clear that it would have been ear-splitting if she had been there. The vehicle, a Ford Expedition, late model, black, came piling up in front of Juan Palacios' house. She couldn't read the license plate, but knew it could be determined later on. Three men jumped out. The driver stayed behind the wheel and ran up to Juan. They immediately got into a shouting match. Though fluent in Spanish, Rosa could hardly make it out because they were all yelling over each other. These young men were dangerous, and Rosa could see that immediately. She was stunned that Juan was holding his ground so well. She paused it again. Do you know any of these men? No, Jimmy said. I know the vehicle only by the noise. It's around a lot. They clearly have a history with Juan, though, Rosa said. I mean, unless they saw something about him they don't like. Even if you don't know them, have you seen them at Juan's before? No, but maybe they were there when I wasn't around. Rosa nodded and resumed. The yelling continued, then the most aggressive one pulled out a knife. Even though it was a video, Rosa sucked in her breath a little. And still, Juan was holding his ground. If anything, he was yelling louder and more angrily. Get out of here, he was yelling in Spanish. Stay out of my neighborhood. Your neighborhood? The one with the knife asked, and then stabbed Juan right in the stomach. The knife hung there. The man had let go, shocked perhaps by his own aggression. Juan didn't fall down, moan, or clutch at the wound. He just stood there. Nada más? He asked the knife man. Is that all? All three of the attackers were backing off now. Juan calmly took the handle of the knife and pulled it out of his belly. The distance was a little great. Jimmy had zoomed in and the video was just grainier because of it. But though there was a small hole in Juan's t-shirt, there didn't seem to be any other indication of his being injured at all. The knife even looked clean. The three men piled back into the Expedition and it tore off. Juan just watched them leave, then walked back into his house. Knife loose at his side, as though it was a bit of garbage he found on the street that he was planning on tossing. The video ended, and she copied it to her computer. Thank you, Jimmy. I'll have my team confirm this. If it checks out, you'll get your money. She rose, and he rose with her. She put out her hand and shook his. I've got a copy of your video. Here's your phone, she said, disconnecting it and giving it to him. Do you have a time frame? He asked. It might vary, but this just went to the top of my list. I'd say you'll hear from us within 2 weeks. If we have any questions that come up about the video, may we call you? Of course, Jimmy said. Thank you. You're welcome, and thank you as well. She saw him out. She called her team to a meeting within the hour. Let's get eyes on Juan Palacios and confirm the details. He may be in danger, even if he has an ability that can stop a knife. The details, other than Juan Palacios' abilities, were quickly confirmed. He was, in fact, Jimmy Porter's neighbor. The license plate on the Expedition was run and the owner found. He was, as Rosalinda had suspected, bad news. He belonged to a gang, the Compton Barrio 70s. His name was Rodolfo Pinzon. He also seemed to be the one who stabbed, or tried to stab, Juan Palacios. The other two who came out were also identified as members of the same gang. The driver could not be identified, though presumably would have also been a member of that gang. Rosalinda's team also determined that Juan Palacios' house was a little outside their territory. This hinted to Rosalinda that this was not some attempt to control their area. This is something else, probably something personal. She and her team, separately and together, watched and analyzed the video itself. There wasn't a frame that wasn't checked. Particularly, the wound itself had been checked. It seemed to be exactly what it was on first watching. Juan Palacios had been stabbed through his shirt, deeply enough that when Rodolfo let go, the knife stayed in the wound. Even cleaned up as much as the data would allow, there wasn't a drop of blood to be seen, not around the wound, not on his shirt, not on the knife. Rosalinda sent the video to a friend she had in the LAPD. She knew that it would be difficult to get any sort of crime prosecuted, given how strange the video was, but she felt she had to. She presumed this would still give her some time to go by and see Juan Palacios for herself. Before doing that, she learned what she could about Juan. He was 31 years old, only a single younger sister living, Maria Palacios, 23 years old, who lived not far from Juan. Some checking told her that Maria lived inside the Compton Vario 70s territory. She had no proof yet, but she was starting to suspect that Maria might be the cause of the problems between Juan Palacios and Rodolfo Pinzon. She had eyes put on both Maria and Juan Palacios. She also looked for information on them. They'd both been born and lived in the same neighborhood for their entire lives. Their parents came from Venezuela before either of them were born. They were both deceased, having died in a fire about a decade ago. There had been no insurance or any real estate to pass on. Juan, being a little older and better established, had successfully rented a house for several years. Maria had partly fallen out with her brother, and had lived with friends and barely made ends meet. Rosalinda decided to go talk with Juan directly. Her team confirmed to her when she was on the way that Juan was home. When she pulled up, she noticed that Jimmy was peeking out his window shades at her vehicle. No doubt he'll be happy we're following up, she thought. She couldn't help but think that Rodolfo Pinzon had parked in the exact spot she did. In her head, she ran through the scene she'd reviewed so many times. Then she got out of her car and walked up to the house. She knocked on the door. In about 10 seconds, she heard someone who could only be Juan say, in Spanish, "Who is it?" "My name is Rosalinda Cruz. I'm here regarding the incident with Rodolfo Pinzon." "Are you with the police?" "No, I'm not with the government at all." "Then why do you care about Pinzon? Reporter?" "No, I'm with a group who are looking for people like you." There was a hesitation that told Rosalinda that Juan knew exactly what she was talking about. He clearly decided to bluff his way out, however. "Hispanic? Venezuelan?" She stifled a laugh. "With powers. Unusual powers." She heard a click and the door opened. Juan Palacios beckoned her in without another word. Inside, she saw that his rental was simply furnished and kept scrupulously clean, as she had been expecting, given that he was sweeping his walk in the video. He pointed to a recliner across from a sofa. She sat, though not deeply, but rather near the edge, as though she were sitting at a dining room chair. Her habits wouldn't allow her to relax that much in the presence of a stranger. He sat on the sofa and looked at her. "We've learned what happened with Rodolfo Pinzon last week." "I see. And we know what you can do."
"Do you?"
"Yes."
"Then you know more than I do."
"What do you want, Rosalinda Cruz?" Rosalinda smiled. "I'm with a group of people who are protecting and learning more about a tiny population of people who have unusual abilities. Superpowers, if you like."
"So you want to take me to some government lab and poke my brain?"
"As I said, we're not with the government. And I'm the last one who wants to poke brains."
"Meaning?"
She'd waited for that question. She focused for a moment. Then, over the course of a few seconds, she became completely transparent, as did everything she had on her. A bit of the recliner did as well. She did better when she was touching nothing but the floor, but the effect was still good. To his credit, Juan showed little outward signs of any reaction. He simply said, "Interesting." She returned to opacity. "So yes, I'm one of you. Or you're one of us, more to the point, if you'll join us."
"What do I get for joining you, and what do you require of me?"
"If you agree to non-invasive investigations, then those. If you have talents you can provide, we will make use of them."
"You make it sound like some military operation, or mercenary."
Rosalinda nodded. "I was in the military. My ability was extremely useful on occasion, though I was careful not to let even my own unit know what I could do. And that's another benefit, the one I actually found most helpful of all. Knowing there are others like me and being able to talk with them, discuss our situations, commiserate when needed. If I did provide my talents, as you say, this would be paid?
Well paid."
Juan's phone rang. He glanced down at it, then said, "Excuse me," and left the room.
Rosalinda waited. Part of her wanted to listen in. Whatever he had seen had pulled him off of a conversation she knew he found interesting. Part of her was even considering going invisible and trying to get closer. But no, she was here to convince him. For that, trust had to be earned and given. She checked her own phone. She also texted her team to let her know everything was fine and that she didn't know when she would be finished. After a few minutes, Juan came back. He was sweating and looked like he was in distress. Rosalinda rose from her chair. "What's wrong, Mr. Palacios?" "My sister, Maria, she's missing. Her roommate doesn't know what happened to her, but she saw Rodolfo Pinzon. I think he has her." He looked Rosalinda in the eyes. "Miss Cruz, Maria dated Rodolfo for a while. She broke it off with him a couple of months ago. When I saw him hanging around her place, I knocked him to the ground. That's what the argument at my place was the other day. I may be able to make myself invulnerable, but Maria cannot. And since the police knew they were dating, I don't think they'll try too hard to figure out what happened with her. They'll just say that she's dating him again. But I know that's not true. She'd learned how dangerous he was. She wouldn't go back to him. If you can help me, then I'll be glad to join you." She stepped forward and put out her hand to shake. "You have my word, Mr. Palacios. We will get her back." Damn, Rosalinda thought as she left Juan's house. My team was supposed to have eyes on her. How did Rodolfo get a hold of her without us knowing? Or maybe Juan is wrong, and she really is back with him. The truth will have to be discovered. As soon as she got back in her vehicle, she was contacting her team. "Where's Maria? Does Pinzon have her or not?" Juan had given her the phone number that had contacted him. She suspected it was a burner, but gave it to her team to run down. She pulled up Maria's address and drove to see her team. On the way, she called Trent, who was that team's leader. "Why is Juan telling me Maria's been taken by Pinzon? What if I had told him I already had people supposedly watching Maria? How would he feel then? Never mind, he feels like I feel. Pissed." Trent decided to go with the professional approach. "We were about to knock and try to talk with Maria's housemate. Would you rather we wait until you're here?" "Yes, wait. I'm only a couple of minutes away. Let's get to the bottom of this." She put the phone down and drove in silence. When she arrived, her team were in a parking lot across from the apartment complex where Maria lived. She drove up to them from the other direction so that she would be close to their driver's side window and put her window down. "Is her roommate there for certain?" "Yes." "Okay. What do you know about what happened?" "Nothing. The place been quiet. We didn't know anything was wrong until you told us." "Have you done anything since you found out?" "We did a sweep of the area. Nothing unusual found." Rosalinda's training kept her from expressing what she would have liked to. "Okay, then. Let's get the word from this roommate." She parked and got out. Her team did likewise. "Do we know anything about the roommate?" "Maya Delgado. They've been friends for years. Maria moved in about a year ago, after not being able to find any other place to stay." "Okay. We'll go up, but I'll talk. You two act as lookouts." They nodded, and together moved into the apartment complex. Rosalinda realized they looked strange. They were the only ones wearing suits. She figured they must look like very dim undercover cops. The apartment was the open-air style that made it look like a motel, and perhaps it had been at some point. They got up to the apartment on the second floor, and her team spread out to get a good sight lines of the place, one in each direction. She had them in her ear, but they wouldn't say anything unless something went wrong. Meanwhile, they were recording her already. She knocked. A young woman with a slightly plump, friendly face answered. Though she looked a little puzzled, she didn't seem afraid. "Hi," Rosalinda said in Spanish, putting on a smile to keep her at ease. "I'm Rosalinda Cruz. Are you, by any chance, Maya Delgado?" Yes, Miss Cruz. What is this about?" "We have word that Rodolfo Pinzon may have taken Maria Palacios." "You, I understand, saw him?" Now Maya's face fell. "How did you know that? Are you with the police?" "No. We got word through her brother. We're helping him." "Her brother doesn't do anything with the government." "We're not the government. We just have strengths that can help him, or more importantly, help Maria. May I come in?" She thought about it. "Yes." He showed her into the low-rent apartment. The furniture was threadbare. There were toys scattered around. "Does Maria have children?" Rosalind asked. "No, I have a 2-year-old boy." "I see. You've been friends with Maria for some time?" "Yes, for almost a decade now, and she's been here for something like a year." The apartment was not as clean as Juan's place. Beyond the toys, there was a bit of dirt and dinginess about the room. "Does Maria have a room of her own?" "No, I only have the one bedroom. My son sleeps with me. Maria sleeps here. The sofa pulls out to a bed." Rosalind had noticed that she hadn't volunteered the name of her son. "She doesn't really trust me," she thought. "Are you certain Pinzon has her?" "I think so, but I can't be certain. Tell me why." "She and Rodolfo dated for a while. I don't think he told her what he was, though she should have known. She's lived in the neighborhood long enough. Eventually his true colors showed through, and she broke it off. He's been sniffing around here ever since. Maria and I have both been sick with fear about it." "Has he done anything to her directly?" "Yes. He beat her the night she broke up with him. She had a fractured orbital bone that has only recently healed, and some other bruises." Rosalinda thought about the next question. She knew that no matter how bad the man, sometimes women went back voluntarily. But she didn't want to sound callous. She decided that laying it out would be the best bet. "Sometimes women in tough situations like Maria's might go back to someone who had hurt them. Do you think she might?" "No," Maya stated, emphatically, but not with anger. "No, I know what you mean. Maria would not. She knows she has a place with me, even if she loses all her money. We're like family. And she learned how bad Rodolfo is. So she's been taken against her will." "I think so, though I did not see it happen." "Where will he be? Do you have his address or know places where he is likely to go?" Maya shook her head. "No, Miss Cruz. I'm sorry, but I don't. Rodolfo is always close-mouthed about things like that. But his gang, they're all over this neighborhood. He'll be here, and she'll be put near him. And he'll have protection." Rosalinda nodded. "Thank you, Maya. Is there anything else you can tell me?" "Just that he's dangerous. I've asked around the apartments. There are lots of stories of people he's hurt, things he's stolen, alone and with his gang. You'll have to be careful." "We will." As soon as she left, she met with her team. "We'll leave an eye on Maya's apartment. She shouldn't be in any danger, but if someone did see me and they think she's talking, they might go after her. We need to find out where Maria's being held. It'll be here in the 70s territory. Maybe Pinzon's still going out, or maybe he's laying low. I say we get some eyes out there and just do facial recognition for him or either of the two friends. How many can we get out there?" 3 dozen or so," Trent answered. They were all up within a day. The data kept flowing, and soon they had a hit. "It's a small 2-bedroom bungalow. We have the blueprints." "Good," Rosalinda said. "This one's mine." No one dared oppose her. That night she moved in. She turned her power on and became completely invisible. The only trick was getting in the door. She made some noise in their backyard. Sure enough, the lights came on and a man came out holding a pistol. It was one of the men who had threatened Juan Palacios with Pinzon. She walked up quickly but quietly. She thrust a syringe into his neck. In 1 second, he slumped to the ground. She moved inside. "Stripe, what'd you see?" she heard someone say from another room in Spanish. The room was in a small outlet next to the kitchen. There was a man at the counter eating a sandwich. He had turned towards her but couldn't see her. He was talking as though to someone out of sight. She stayed silent and moved towards him. He grunted and turned back to his plate. She pulled out another hypo. At the last moment, her weight caused the flooring to creak right behind the man. He stiffened, but before he could so much as turn around again, she put the syringe in his neck. He too slumped to the ground. She looked round. The place was filthy. She would have to be careful where she stepped or she would make noise. She crept around the hall from the kitchen, making a quick check to make sure the dining room was empty, as it had seemed from inside the kitchen. It was, so the rest of the house was accessed by a single hallway. It was likely that Maria and Pinzon would be in the master bedroom, the only door on the left. There's a small bathroom, first door on the right, with the other bedroom, the second door on the right, more or less across from the master bedroom's door. The master bedroom's door was closed, which all but confirmed her suspicions. Still, she checked. The bathroom and the small bedroom were both empty. She heard noises of a struggle coming from the room. There was no time for hesitation. She kicked the door in. She did a quick check. Pinzone was on top of Maria and had turned partway toward the door. There was a pistol on the bedside table, and he was reaching for it when she caught up to him. Her knife was out. Only the first couple of inches of the blade were visible. She slashed the back of his hand hard. As he howled and yanked his hand back from the pain, she flicked with her blade and sent the gun spinning off the table. He was confused, and she used it to her advantage. He had rolled onto his side and seemed intent on kicking into the air at the unseen but clearly real attacker. Maria could not help. She had been tied to the bed. Rosalinda took a step back. When one leg thrashed out, she cut it. He howled and kicked harder, but she had anticipated that. She took a step around the side of the bed and instead thrust her knife into the side of his throat, then pulled the blade free. Blood spurted out, and Pinzone gurgled a scream. Maria was now screaming as well. She had been terrified of Pinzone. Now she was terrified of him, but also of this invisible attacker. "Maria, calm down. I am here to help," Rosalinda said. "I'm getting you out of here." She dropped her invisibility, and Maria gasped. Rosalinda couldn't blame her. Seeing someone appear in front of you, blade in hand, and a fair amount of blood on you, was enough to shake anyone. Add to that Maria's outfit, which was a military-style suit with a face mask, and anyone would be scared. "Are you an enemy of Rodolfo?" she asked as Rosalinda started to cut her free. "No," Rosalinda said. "Not a friend of mine," Maria added. "Not really," she said. "Wait, is this about my brother, what he can do?" she asked. She knew, Rosalinda thought. Interesting. "Only in part," Rosalinda said. She hit a button on her mask. "Main target down, others out, asset freed, pick up in three." She hit the same button as a voice in her ear said, "Acknowledged, pick up en route." "And the other part?" "The other part?" Rosalinda asked. "Most of this was for me."
And that's the story. If you have any comments or questions about this episode or previous episodes, cryptobiography@gmail.com, or hit us up on Facebook, X, or Mastodon, and thanks for listening. Words and music copyright 2024, Brandon Starr, all rights reserved. Characters and events are fictional, fictionalized, or satirical.